Baruch Hashem, we're zeichet to be living Monday nights for the past 13 or 14 years. I lost track. And each year I try to spend a little time learning together with you a maamar. This summer I think we'll be able to do two maamar. Not so much for the purpose of covering a certain amount of material or being able to gain certain new information, as wonderful as all of that is, but the ikur is to spend some time to be mischazik. Chizik. This is a shlichus that I have from different tzaddikim to try to do this, to try to give chizik and to work on certain inyan together with the chevra, which we all need tremendous chizik in. So we're going to try to learn two mamarim. The first maimer we're going to learn is by a tzaddik. We were learning a little bit from the last year or two. Baruch Hashem, he's alive and well. He has a bes medrash in Beit Shemesh, in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Avram Tzvi Kluger. He's a tremendous mashpia. Rav Kluger is a very, very big mashpia. We've been zeichet to have him visit. When he comes to New York, he comes to speak to us in the Bis Medrash. And he's put out a number of svarim, different levels, easier, harder, more Kabbalah, less Kabbalah. So let's learn this maimer that is explaining, that's explaining a maimer of the tzaddikim, Ein Yeish Ba'olam. There's a very famous saying. It's best known in the name of Rabbi Nachman from Breslov. But as we see from Rabbi Tzalik and other tzaddikim, they all said this same thing. And they were talking to our generation, the last generation, this last time before Mashiach comes. Ein Yeish Ba'olam. That there's no such thing as despair. Ein Yeish Ba'olam. And this is repeated over and over. The words were actually written on the walls of many Breslov Rabbati Midrashim in Europe and to this day. But we need to understand more what it means. Kaidam, what is Yeish? What does Yeish mean? What does it mean to give up? It doesn't have to be extreme. We're going to learn, we're going to understand, and it could be inside of us, you already know, that many, many, many people in our generation who are observant of Torah mitzvahs, who appear to be healthy, well-adjusted, parents, grandparents, have given up. They've given up. Now, what does that mean, they've given up? They go to shul. They keep Shabbos, they keep mitzvahs, they try to stay away from aveiros. But there's something inside that has turned off, and they've given up. What have they given up on? What does that mean? So in order to understand what the tzaddikim said, and the tzaddikim were not exaggerating when they said that there's no such thing by a Jew as Yeyush, as giving up, we first need to know what Yeyush is. It's a sickness. It's a sickness, it's a disease. And our generation is suffering from it terribly. So let's learn inside. The Hebrew is a little bit modern, but it's not hard. Yeish v'nesibay sachayim. Nesibay sachayim is the circumstances of life. That it happens that as a result of the circumstances of life, mivieis es ha'odim liyis nichna im ha'goyral ha'poiked oisai, that the circumstances of life bring a person to begrudgingly accept his fate. Bahashloma she'enu mitarech haskamas aleiv, he accepts his fate in life. Not because there's a haskamas halev, not because it's something that he's thrilled about, not because his heart truly on a deep level wants this or accepts it, ela michoiser breyer, but rather he has no choice. What choice does a person have? These are the cards that he's been dealt in life. These are the circumstances of his life. At one part of the day, I'm talking to somebody who's trying to deal with the situation of not having children. An hour later, I'm talking to somebody who can't take all of the children. And all variations in between. Ain Braver. No, this is my matzav in life. And we admire those who heroically accept their faith. But it comes michoise breyer. The acceptance is the result of that understanding that I have no choice. Ein evsharus biyodo l'shanus is pnei hamatzav. The person is unable to change the matzav. There's nothing he could do about it. Nasa efai kehei b'chushav. What this often leads to is that a person becomes numb. Kehei b'chushav means he becomes numb, emotionally detached and numb. B'choiser chius ima nichbolav negeritzainai. And there's a lack of vitality, of chiz, of exuberance and excitement that this person has with life because of the circumstances that have been forced upon him against his or her will. That's just the metzius. But over time, that metzius, those circumstances of life, have sapped him or her of a certain chiz, of a simchas achaim that we had when we were children. Now, it's not that we're dealing here with a person who has some great theological crisis, some loss of faith. Ma'amin hu ben ma'amin. This person is a ma'amin, is a believer. Ben ma'amin, the son of believers, talking about a person who believes in Hashem. And therefore, einam afak feik bedarchi hanhoge hel yoyne. He has no questions. He has no doubts regarding Hashem's decision to deal him that particular hand in life, those cards in life. He's not asking about that. Einam afak feik bedarchi hanhoge hel yoyne. He doesn't have questions about how the Baruch Shalom fears the Welt, how he runs the world. He accepts that. He accepts that Hashem Baruch Hu is Tov and Yasher, and Hashem does what he knows what he's doing. And if this is what I have, it's because of what I'm supposed to have. So the fact that you'll try to revive this person with some words of emuna, it often falls upon deaf ears. Not because he doesn't believe, but because he has all of those answers. And he'll nod his head and say, I believe that this is Bashert. And I accept that this is the way that it has to be. And I know that the Baruch Shalom is doing this because it's best for me. He has all of the right answers, and he believes in those answers. He knows that every single thing in his life is a Hashgacha Pratis. Every single thing in his life has his address on it. Why was he born at this time with this family? Why is the husband like that, the wife like that? Why are the children this way? Why is the panasa like this, not like that? Everything this person believes is bashgach al yayna. So at this point we would say that based upon what we're reading about this individual, he should be happy. And he should be alive. Kol prat, every single thing he believes is Hashgacha Pratis, and it's Latoiva, and it's for his best. And even if he doesn't see how it's good for him right now, he believes, like any believing Jew, that long term, that Hashem Yisbarach has a plan for him, and that this is good for him. And whatever he's going through is for the nitzchias of who he is, for the eternity of his existence. Even though for now, it might not be particularly pleasant, it could be better. But he believes that it's l'tayva. Everything is l'tayva. Maven she'en b'briya matzav shel b'de'evet. Look what kind of a person we're talking about. He believes that in creation and in his own life, there's no such thing as a b'de'evet. Everybody here knows what the word b'de'evet means. There's l'chadchila and b'de'evet. L'chadchila means ideally, and b'de'evet means, no, that's what it is, so I'll accept the way that it is. There are some people who look at their lives as being b'de'evet, meaning, really, what I wanted to do was this, and the person I wanted to be was that, and the family I wished to have was this, and the lifestyle, and so on, and the Yiddishkeit, and all of the circumstances of my life, what I dreamt of is not the lemaise of who I am. And there are many, many people who live their lives feeling that my whole life is a b'deved, not a l'chadchila. It's a terrible, terrible curse to live that way. When a person looks at a spouse and feels that this is not my l'chadchila, I could live this way b'deved, but it's not l'chadchila. These children are not l'chadchila, but b'de'eved, I accept and I'll do my best. It's a terrible way to live. And this Jew doesn't live that way. The way that he lives is with the feeling that my life is l'chadchila. That this is not some mistake. This is not some alternative plan that Hashem Yisbarach had for me, that if I mess up, then he's going to give me plan B. This is plan A. This is the Baruch Shalom L'chadchila. This is what he planned for me, and this is what he's given me. And my life, therefore, is L'chadchila. It's not a B'de'evet. L'chadchila. This is who I am. And this is what I need to do. Kor Meirosh. This was all determined a long time ago. Long before I came into the world. It was already determined what would be the conditions and the circumstances of my life. Boifen ubamokim hameduyok, exactly how and where, Shaboy Mitzvah Hashem hadvaram, that everything in my life would take place. Not my whole life, I only wanted to be in California and I ended up in New York. Or I really, really, really was going to be in Yerushalayim, and because of this and because of that, I ended up having to spend my life in Chutz Laaretz. No. L'chadchila, this is my avoda, where Hashem Yisbarach has put me. And I'm making my ishtadlus to live the best life I can live in this misgeris, in this framework that Hashem Yisbarach created for me. So this sounds, so far this sounds terrific. This person sounds like he's doing the best he can, and we would think that he would be a happy camper. Achim kol zois kosha olav hama'ir. But the truth is, despite the fact that in his head he knows all of this, and he believes all of it even in his heart, but he's unhappy with his life. That's the Metzius. And the Koshal of Amar means that what's happening to him hurts him and is difficult. And miyachel u'mishtoikeg shiyas chalif kvar. And he's longing for this to change. Inside of his heart, he desperately wishes that it wouldn't be this way. Sheya'aleim kilumas shaba. That whatever this hardship is, that it should go away. So the same way that it came, it should disappear from my life. A you talk to somebody who has a special child, a child that from the time that the child came to the world, Hashem is well sent with all kinds of inyanim. And I've met parents like this that are such tzaddikim. Such tzaddikim. Everything that comes out from them is an inspiration. And they're so much greater than the rest of us. These people are unbelievable. And I've heard words that have been spoken by such parents in the hospital when they've been told that this is the child that they've brought into the world. And such words of acceptance can only come from great emunah, and they're great people. And Hashem Yisbach tests only those kelim that can somehow navigate through those difficulties. And yet, do we know, and do any of us see, and can any of us feel what it's like on a winter night, you know, in Teves, when the child has another seizure, or there's some other crisis, and there are thousands and thousands in those lives. Can any of us know what that feeling is? At the same time, a belief and an acceptance, but if only it could be different. And there's nobody on earth that would ever blame such a person. Mayasa. But what can you do? Umanuhal ha'olam bidei borei. The world is in the hands of the Creator. Ha'ose bebru of kirayis ein yisbarach, who does with his creations, with us, as he sees fit. Bli leschashe b'mesha haya nivra ha'nivra ma'adiv sheyeh, without taking into account what you and I would have preferred. Hashem has a cheshbon. So let's describe what's the life of this Jew like. Ein ha-boichav, ein ha-samech. He doesn't sit around crying. He doesn't sit around crying. Remember, he's a man. And there's a strength to him. Ein ha-boichav, but ve-ein ha-samech. But it could be that he or she has also lost the capacity to truly be happy. To be be'emes, happy. Everybody smiles. Everybody walks around and says certain things and tries to be cheerful. But there are many, many people that they've become, like we said earlier, they've over the years become numb. And they simply have lost the ability to cry. Ein ha-boicha ve'ein ha-samech. Misrachek milahar amoik midai bigufu shel inyan. And more than anything, what this person does is avoids thinking deeply about the gufu shel inyan, about the actual inyan. I remember once reading a book that there were archaeologists. I don't remember where they were. And they were in some big, big project. And they came across very, 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 very far beneath the surface of the earth, someplace they came across a catacomb, and there were mummies there, and they came to this place, and for the first time in thousands of years, light, they opened it up and sunlight came down into this place. And there was a body that was perfectly preserved. It wasn't even wrapped up. It was just lying there, this body. And when the sunlight came into this cave, wherever this was, and they came upon this body, they approached it, and in one split second, it became ashes. When the sunlight came upon it, and the air, whatever happened over there with the elements, that guf, that body, disintegrated in a split second. And I saw that once, I don't remember where this was, but I saw that as a metaphor. There are people who live with certain things deep inside that have been there sometimes from the time they were little kids. A certain pain, a certain unpleasantness, a certain pain, sometimes much worse, something horrible. And it sort of sits there. And they don't go back to it. It's buried deep, deep in the person, and they avoid it. And they avoid going to a deeper place inside themselves, because they're afraid that if they go deeply into themselves, they'll meet that mummy, you know, that body, that scary thing. So they prefer to spend their entire lives on the surface. You could sometimes pick this up in a person. If you have a chush for this, you could pick it up very quickly. There are people that they live very, very, very much on the surface. And they're bright, intelligent people. But everything that comes out from them is shallow. It might be intelligent. It could even be brilliant. But nothing comes from a deeper place inside the person. And if you start to talk about something on a deeper level, then they'll find a reason to switch the topic of conversation, or they just disappear. Because if they were to go into that deeper part of themselves and expose that mummy, that dark and painful memory, and if the light of day and were to shine upon it, and the air, the oxygen to seep in. So they're afraid that the entire life, the entire shallow, superficial life that they've built over the past 20, 30 years will evaporate in a second. And I've seen that happen, by the way. I've seen that happen more than once with people. I've met people that put thoughts away for years and years and years. And as a result of something that took place in the family, followed up by therapy, and a certain bedikas chametz that took place in their lives, they remembered something from when they were children. And they disintegrated as people. And it takes sometimes months and years to put together a new person, a healthy, normal person. Because all of their lives, they were afraid to go into that place. There's a room inside. It's a scary room. And they're afraid to go in there. And because of that, they're afraid to have deeper thoughts bichlal. Again, they can think deeply about science and math and politics, and they could, and a blad gemara. But as far as emotionally, they're not going to visit the deeper place inside of themselves. And much of their lives they spend in a very superficial way. They're more shallow. Relationships that are not deep, and so on. That's what it means. Misrachek melahahir amoik midai begufishal inyan. He stays far away from thinking about that thing in life that hurts, that thing in life that he has accepted, she has accepted as part of life, as a believing person, knows that it's Ashgacha Pratis, but lives in a certain state of numbness, of emotional paralysis, for fear of coming back to that place and remembering the pain and being afraid that they won't be able to cope with the pain. Kiyore lehisyatsev al saf tahoim. Chaser is pesha. They're afraid to stand on the threshold of the abyss, for which there is no solution. Nichfaf alamitzius. The person simply bends himself, is bent over, and accepts and lives with that mitzius. Eino marba la'oirir rotzon l'shanaisa. It's already been a long time since he or she really even cried out to Hashem and davened to change the situation, to help make it better. Gam la'edei tefila. The person already is not in that parish anymore of davening. If you would ask the person, they would say, I davened for a lot. Okay, that was, I davened for it. It didn't change. It didn't help. And this is Dashgoche, Hashem's Baruch. Obviously, this is what Hashem's Baruch planned for me. And I'm a Kabbalist. Or you say Yom Achalal, Eshe Nidrash Mimenu Lasois. It's a good person. He does everything day after day, day in, day out. He does everything that he's supposed to. V'chai kach es chayev, and lives life. And could be a very, very productive, well-adjusted person. But the mar amoik v'nistar, but there's a bitterness that's very, very deep, and it's hidden. It's hidden from other people, and it's mostly hidden from the person himself. It just doesn't go there. It's behind that locked door in the mind and the heart. It doesn't go there. So, what happens to that? It's there. So hamisparitz le'itim b'kaitzer ruach, the way that it's expressed or the way that it's manifested in his life is that there are times when he's very impatient. Trunya al abrius. There are times that this person has kindness against people. It's very negative when it comes to other people. Chashomkas comes out sometimes with anger. But it's never identified for what it is. The person doesn't attribute the impatience, the intolerance, or the anger, doesn't attribute it to that inyan, that fate of his or her life. That deep down, the person is so unhappy with. Mamtin ad yavrazam. So the person waits it out until it passes, the anger, the impatience. You know, you could get all kinds of books and svarim on anger and being more patient and all kinds of tapes and shiurim and read all kinds of secular books on these subjects and they're good and they could help. But the truth is, Nase ayef min hachayim. The person is tired of living. He's tired of living. Always looking forward to something else. When I'll have the vacation, then it'll be gewaldig. When the children get married, if I make that shidduch, then it'll be gewaldig. If this kid gets into that place, if the thing with the panasa works, there's always something in the future that the person gives himself as a treat in order to somehow have a chiyas and feel a desire to go on. But on a deeper level, he's really tired of life. Kaved olav ha'ol. It weighs heavily upon him. The burden of life. Remember, he doesn't really feel things in a deep way. Doesn't laugh much, doesn't cry much. And if he cries, he's not sure why he's crying. A person can hear about the suffering of other people, God forbid, tragedies that befall other people, and we'll say, oh, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible. But they know that deep inside they don't really feel that. Not because they're not caring, not because they're not compassionate people, but because they're afraid to venture into that part of themselves and open up that place. Because if I go into that part of myself that will allow me to feel the pain of that other person, then I'm going to feel my own pain. I can't do that. I've worked too long and too hard to create this life that I have. And I'm not going to spend the rest of it on some therapist's couch, proverbial couch. I don't know if they do that anymore. But I'm not going to spend the rest of my life in therapy. So I'd be best to keep the door closed, the cave, in everything's in darkness. I'm not allowing in that light or that oxygen, because everything can turn to dust and ashes. I don't want that to happen. So what is this? What is this feeling? Hamatzav hazeh benefesh, the Sfarim tell us that this matzav hanefesh, nikra, is called in Lashon HaKodesh, is called yeyush. Yeyush. In English it's translated as despair. But it's not really. Like, there are many, many words in Lashon HaKodesh that you cannot find the proper English word. Yeyush. Again, we don't find this person going to pieces. But there's something inside that's shut off. And this is a description, a little bit, of that type of personality. Chazal melamdim, Chazal teach us, shekasher odom ibed aveda. Now, where does the word yeyush come from? It has roots in Tanakh, the word no'ash. It has in Tanakh. But that form of the word yeyush, it's used in halacha. In halacha, it's referring to a person who has lost something. There are very big sugyas in the Gemara on this subject of yeyush. A person has lost something. Ve'ein lo tikva l'maitza. A person drops something in the ocean. A person goes into the ocean to swim a little bit, and the earring falls off. I have myself participated in many, many all-out searches for parts of the earring, this part, that part, in the house, and on the carpet, and so on. But if you drop that in the ocean, you might bend down and try a little bit by the feet, but you're misyayish. It's hafal. It's hafal. And in halacha, yeyush creates a certain status, which, as far as a person finding an object and being allowed to keep an object, if halachically the presumption is that the circumstances would warrant a fair assumption that the individual who lost this gave up, it was misyayish, so then the individual who finds it would be able to keep it without any problem at all. And there are many, many discussions in halacha about what exactly are the conditions that would warrant such a conclusion of yeyush. This person has no hope of finding it. Kigayin she'ein lo simen, for instance. Doesn't have a simen. He lost something, and there's no particular identifying feature on this thing that he's lost. The person lost a gold band. What is it? What's the simon? I think it says 14 carat inside. It's a simon. They all say something like that. What other simon do you have? So it doesn't have a simon. And because of that, the person knows this is a busy street in the city, and I drop this thing. It doesn't have a simon. It's fafal. So in halacha, we assume that person is misyayish. And if you find something without a simon on a busy street in the city, it's yours. Person has, you find a $50 bill, you find a $100 bill, so you're saying, yeah, it has a picture of Benjamin Franklin. I mean, they all have the same picture. So the person is Messiah. Nenach va'oimer, the Chazal tells us, the person gives a krechs and says, Vay l'chisaron kis, vay l'chisaron kis means, no, what can I do? I lost it. It's gone. I'm missing some money. I'm missing something. Vay l'chisaron kis. It happens in life. And by saying vayil chesaron kis or something of that type, when the person says no, it's vafalim. So at that point, halachically, we have a situation of yeyush. Klemer, yeyush hu. Next page, page two. Klemer yeyush hu hashlama im hamatzav. Yeyush means coming to terms with a matzav. See, if you lost something and it has a simon. 2 years ago, there was something very, very expensive that was mistakenly thrown by one of the children into the big garbage binge. It's not a garbage can. It's a big one of those big green things by the shul. And my wife it was a very sentimental thing to my wife. And I tried to that it was nobody at shul that time, and I went into the thing. And I climbed around, and it was a gewaltige simcha. My wife and the kids, we all did a little rikud. I found it in the shorts. I found this. And when something has a simon, or when you know that it could be there, in that place, and there's still the hope that you'll get it back, so you don't come to terms with that matzav. You fight against your fate. You say, no, it's not my fate. I'm going to find this. I'm going to get it back. But when there's yeyush, yeyush means accepting this for fun. It's not going to change. This is the matziv. Yidiyah she'ein be'efsharus l'shanos. It's that knowledge that this is something that simply cannot be changed. Like the example of lo aleinu, a child that has a certain type of a emotional disorder that's incurable, that's the metzius. And the parents know that for the duration of their lives, or however, that is what they're going to have. It's not the davening, it's not to wake up the next day and to check and to see that the child is okay. This is the metzius. Kach roza shekova harotzen ha'achrein, Lenasois, Lasois, Benidain. It's like a proclamation that whatever hope there was to change the situation has been extinguished. It can't be changed. It's the acceptance of fate. This is it. K'moichei, kol kniya shel adam, el hamatzavim shayetzer or haguf meviyim aysa. Sometimes you have that when it comes to the person giving in to a desire, to a certain need. A person, let's say, is, God forbid, addicted to drinking, or to smoking, or to drugs, and has come to a point in his life or her life where there's no hope of ever changing. I can't get out of this. I can't get out of this. And as much as you'll say, no, there are things that could be done, the person feels that it's fafam. And the person is misyayish when it comes to certain aveiros. Something like, when it comes to things like Lashon Hara. So there are people that their feeling is, look, I'm going to work on other stuff. That's just not going to, when it comes to Lashon Hara, it's not going to work out. I'm just going to have to deal with whatever I have to deal with after 120. Because when it comes to Gishmak and Lashon Hara, I can listen to the tapes. I can put the Chavos Chaim's picture all over. I have it on the phone. I have it on my cell phone. I have it on my screen. When it comes up on the computer, it's the Chavos Chaim. But I know that there's something about that inyan that when it comes down to it, I just, the Messiah. People are Messiah on certain affairs. The Messiah. The Messiah not to do certain mitzvahs that they can't do. You ask them, why didn't you? It's not for me. I can't do that. It's a certain aveir. That's who I am. The person has a very strong temper. So why are you screaming like that? Why are you acting like that? So the person will say, that's who I am. My father was like that. My Zaydi was that. That's who I am. And as far as that mid is concerned, the person has been misyayish. Doesn't daven anymore. Hashem's Bech, please, I beg you, help me to overcome this anger. He's even stopped reading the Svarim and the Me. He's on to other Aveiros he's reading about. But as far as that Midah of Kaas, of anger, when it comes to laziness, I was talking to a student of mine in Yerushalayim the other day. She's married to a tzaddik of a guy, a wonderful guy. They have Kana Hara, four children. After the doctor said they weren't able to have any children, they have four children, Baruch Hashem, healthy children. They just married one off, Baruch Hashem. She has this inyan. She's a wonderful girl, talented, brilliant girl. She can't clean. It's not a house. It's a little apartment in Ramat Eshkol. But she cannot clean it. Ad kedei kach, I myself have visited, but ad kedei kach, that there are stacks of dirty things, and it's such a balagan. And the husband's at tzaddik, and he's soivel, such bizyonis, and he tries all the time. He's always trying to clean. She'll just read books at night, and the children, he puts them to bed, and he tries to clean up, and she's reading, and she's writing poems and stuff. A wonderful person. So I've had this discussion with her for years and years. It's not somebody from Ezra, so don't try to figure it out. I've had this discussion with her over the years. And it's always, but Rebbe, this is just like, this is why I can't. This is who I am. I'm saying that your husband, the children, it's Rachmanis. So he can't work as much as he would like to. He has to take care of the children a lot. And the Parnasa Matzah is very, very bad. So I always have to try to raise money, try to pay to get them into therapy and for her to go for therapy. And the therapists, I talk to the therapist, and the therapists say, this is a tough case, Rabbi, this is a tough case. This is years and years and years. And she doesn't daven for this anymore. It's just, this is who she is, and she's accepted that this is her mitzvah. And you know what? She's in a pretty good mood most of the time. She has a good attitude. Her husband's not in a great mood, but she's in a pretty good mood. She reads books and writes poems. The children are nice children, despite all of this. And the place is hefker. Total hefkeres. I don't mean a little bit. Total hefkeres. But that's the mitzvah. Vay l'chisaron kis. Person's misyayish. There was a time, I remember years ago, where she got really, really excited. And then for a few weeks, she was doing this and doing that, and she's putting things away. And even when her in-laws were kind enough or desperate enough to pay for somebody to come and clean, it couldn't work out. But that's how it is. That's called yayish. It's not only when it comes to something that is from outside of oneself, some condition or circumstance that's beyond your control. There are many, many things about ourselves, our midas, certain things we do that we shouldn't do, certain things that we should be doing that we've given up on doing because of yayish. We've let go of it. That's what it means. K'mayichein kol kni, the second line on page 2. K'mayichein kol kniyah shel adam. When a person submits, gives himself in, elamatzov m'sha yetzer or hagufim b'vim aysay, to certain things that his yetzer hara, or his body, are driving him to. When it comes to how people eat, I know it's a touchy subject, the whole inyan of eating, which is a very, very big inyan. It's the first thing that happened to Adam and Chava was with eating, right? The first problem in creation was with food. And ever since then, it's been a huge problem. There are people who walk around on this earth who spend a significant part of their time thinking about either eating or not eating. It takes up a tremendous amount of space in their heads. There are people who don't eat who have collections of cookbooks, and people who can't stop eating who don't have collections of cookbooks. It doesn't really make a difference. But there's a certain feeling, there's a certain sense of yeyush. My body it makes certain demands. I can't overcome this. I can't control this. So people engage in all kinds of questionable medical things in order to prevent themselves from overeating. And obviously there are different situations and different conditions, b'chulu b'chulu. But a person's a mesiyash. There are people who just let go. Who just let go, even though, just like cigarettes could be so terrible, are terrible, and drinking is terrible when it's not in the right way, so too it could be with eating. How much a person eats, when a person eats. Then the person who stops eating, this terrible sickness that you have, people with anorexia, Hashem Yirachem, who starve themselves to death. And there's a yeyush that always comes with this, of how they define themselves as being in this matzav that can't be changed. Ba'achlota pnimis, there was a decision somehow that took place inside of that person. Shemeata, that from now, afilu lo yinasi lesmoided mulinyin, that I'm not even going to struggle with this anymore. I'm done fighting. I've lost. I'm not fighting with it anymore. Mashmuusa shehis yayish belibay. This means that the person was misyayish. And the person saying to oneself, vai, vai, lechsarn kis. Like the person who dropped his ring in the ocean. Vai, lechsarn kis. It's gone. I'm never going to get it back. So too when it comes to certain things in life. With midas, yetzaharas, yetzaratayivs, other things, learning, davening. I lost it in the ocean, so foul. I can't get it. Or I've never had it, I'm never going to have it. This is yeyush. In Tanakh, we find the word no'ash. Miloshin yeyush, the Mitzvah explains, vazivas hadavar. Look how the Mitzvah explains. Yeyush v'azivas hadavar. Azivas hadavar means abandoning the matter. Abandoning it. Walking away from it. So nish'elas she'ela. The question must be asked. Kashim is rachesh kazois ba'olam. When such a thing happens in the world, because by the way, this is not only by an individual. You could have this in a community. You could have this really in an entire nation. You could have this with the entire world. If we ask ourselves, is it possible somehow to regain a certain purity that once was in our community, amongst ourselves, that was 30, 40, 50 years ago, a certain innocence and a certain purity before all the new technology, long before all of these things. There isn't a feeling of yeyush. I think there's a terrible feeling of yeyush. The fact that there's this mad race to try to find ways to artificially control these things with all other types of technology, to control the technology. On a deeper level, it means that the person's misyayish has given up hope of having control over himself. Do you understand what I'm saying? This years ago was the kind of thing where a person was a chain smoker, and then they would have to do certain things. There were certain techniques that we used to try to make the cigarette unpleasant. Or somebody that bites the nails, so they put poison on their nails. So that's a way of filtering your nails, yeah? So they filter their nails. So now that they've artificially obstructed. They've created some obstruction, so they're not going to bite their nails. Because now it's poison. They're not going to bite their nails. That's what all of the filtering is about. It's just to create an obstruction. Okay, you do what you can. But what it means on a deeper level, and the reason that this makes me always so sad, is that it means that the person's messiahish from having self-control. Self-control. Don't look at that. What do you mean, don't look at that? Yeah, you're not allowed to look at that, so don't look at it. But it sounds crazy, because people are messiahish. People are messiahish. So they're poisoning their nails, so they shouldn't bite their nails. And they're going to probably put some things on the buttons of different machines. Pretty soon it's going to come. We're going to have some new ideas going to come out that if you press it, it'll zap you with a certain amount of watts of electricity. So you really have to be very determined to be prepared to go through electric shock in order to see your favorite website. It's not a rachmanis. It's a big rachmanis. It's called Yeush. 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 I can't control myself. I can't change. I can't go back. One second. I can't go back to what it was like before. I can't. I can't. You see people in shul. You'll see people I've seen at a levaya, at a shiva, taking out the thing, going looking up and down at a levaya, looking up, putting in the pocket. They don't want to do that. They know that it's not appropriate. Then they'll put it in the pocket and they'll go like this a little bit. They'll shock or listen to something behespic. A minute later. Sachmanis. There's a yeyush. There's a very, very deep yeyush in our community. There's a very deep yeyush. A giving up, a letting go. That's exactly what the Mitzvah says. Yeyush va'azivas adav. Azivas adav means it is what it is. And I hear this being said, this lashon. It is what it is. We have to try in this matzah how to do this and how to do that. Which I understand. I'm not arguing with any of that. And I encourage everybody to do whatever they can to artificially prevent themselves from doing something that internally they should be strong enough to avoid. There's a very, very, very big yeyush, a cloud of despair that's over our community. It's very, very sad. Very, very sad. A feeling of vulnerability and weakness, knowing how I've given in, the same way when you've been on a diet and you tried so hard and you fit into that outfit and you feel so good, and then you just let yourself go, that Shabbos Shavuot Brachos or something, you let yourself go, and then you go and you go and you go and you... So then you have to get another filter for the refrigerator. And you have to have, because there's also laptop eating, so you have to get a special filter for food when you're on the road. So you shouldn't eat. Instead of the person not being messiahish and having his chaskas with himself. But this is the matzah of yeyush. It's a terrible thing. It affects populations. It affects communities. Places where there could be, that there's a history of talking in a shul where it goes on and on and on and on. And if you ask any individual, the people that learned in yeshivas their whole lives, is this right? Is this the way you think Hashem's Baruch wants this? No. So why are you doing it? No. They'll say, well, it goes on. And what happened? Yeyush. Just messiahish. It's not changing. We can't change. What did you want to say? You want to say something? The whole union of setting boundaries to begin with means that there's a level of yeyush, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't set boundaries. Why do I have to set any kind of a boundary if I'm going to stay away from it? And if I'm using correct judgment? If I trust myself and I'm confident and I'm able to trust my judgment, why do I have to set any artificial kind of boundaries? The teretz is, because I'm a God-fearing person, and I don't want, and I feel that I'm not strong enough, and therefore I need to set boundaries. The Torah would say to you, don't go near something that you shouldn't go near. Not, you're there, and now you have to put it in a cage, and then spend the rest of the time, like that joke that they say about, there's a famous joke that they say about the lady that, it was her first day on the diet, she was very, 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 very strong. You know all this joke. You know that she was very strong on this diet, and what happened is that she all of a sudden had a murdic taiva, a big taiva for an eclair. A big taiva, that's her favorite thing, an eclair. Big, big taiva. So she didn't know what to do. She was only a few blocks away from the bakery that had her favorite eclair. So she accepted upon herself, she said, that if I find a parking space in front of the bakery, then I know that Hashem is telling me that I could have it.
Okay.
And if I don't find a parking space, then I know Hashem is telling me that I shouldn't have it. I'm a chaz myself. So she said, and Baruch Hashem, after circling the block for 45 minutes, I found this space in front of the bakery. All of these things, of course, they're necessary gedarim. And the Torah establishes gedarim, because Hashem knows his chevra, and we have weaknesses. And woven into halacha, we have many gedarim, absolutely. And every Yirei Shemayim tries to live by those fences and to build strong walls between ourselves and things that are wrong. 100%. What's Yeyush? Yeyush means when there is something where we don't have any clear gather that was given to us by the Torah, by Chazal. And I don't feel that I'm within myself, I'm honest, thank God, with myself to know that I lack a certain determination and strength and confidence. And therefore, as a Yirei Shemayim, as the filters, a person has Yirei Shemayim, tries to establish, to make a wall that will prevent me from stepping over the boundaries. What I'm talking about is on a much deeper level, that internally it's said that one needs to establish those boundaries, but you do. The same way with a person who can't stop himself from biting his nails. Wouldn't it be ideal when I read in the Sefer that the Bava of Rabbi Slusky only was a chain smoker. He used to smoke all the time. And when the studies first came out, I think it was in the 50s, I don't remember exactly when the studies came out, that smoking is dangerous. So then the Rebbe found out about it, and he said, oh, and he stopped smoking. He said, I didn't know that, and he stopped smoking. That's not such an easy thing to do. Oh. And he stopped smoking. The gvu of a person, the internal resources of a person, a person like that was never messiahish on his inner resources, on the strength that he had within himself. So he didn't have to poison the cigarettes in the Bais Medrash, you understand? Within himself, he was mechazik himself. It's very, very hard. And no one's criticizing or blaming people that can't do that. That's a very high madriga to be on. But the matzav is a matzav of yeyish. There's no question. We're living in a big matzav of yeish as a people, now, a big matzav of yeish. When it comes to many things, many, many things, this inyan, Eretz Yisrael, many things. That's why in Eretz Yisrael, the apology is in having to bend to the world and having to not to believe in who we are and to be able to, like the Lubavitcher Rebbe Sussi, when he said that he once told them that they should go, he told one of the, I don't know, it was the United States ambassador, it might have been, the Israeli ambassador might have been Netanyahu. I don't remember who he told it to. The Lubavitcher used to say, go up in front of the United Nations, open up the first pasuk in Tanakh and say, and read to them what Rashi says, that Hashem Yisbach gave Eretz Yisrael to who he wanted to give it to. He gave it to the Jewish people. That's the Lubavitcher said we should tell the whole world. I believe 1,000% that if we would do that, we wouldn't have all the tzaras that we have in Eretz Yisrael. But we don't have that. We're Messiahish, that we have to play this game of politics with the world. This is the inyan of what Yeyush means. Alright, it's getting late, so the question of how to deal with this and what to do with Yeyush and how to overcome Yeyush, and what did the tzaddikim mean when they said Ein Shum Yeyush, that by a Jew there's no such thing as Yeyush. So that's what we're going to continue with Shema Ben Stur.